Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I'm glad you guys are here. You know, it's Monday and it's early. That's encouraging to me. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to read about four verses here, and then I'm going to have Caleb Wilson come on up and pray for the devotion this morning. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Caleb, you come on up, please. Caleb's a guy I've really enjoyed getting to know this last year in the school. And Caleb became a Christian this year, and I'm just super appreciative for his example.
All right, let's pray. Dear God, we're just so thankful for this great morning you have given us, this opportunity we get to come here together and be encouraged. I just pray that we would be attentive this morning. I pray that you would be with Nolan as he brings us his devotion. I just pray that we would take things from it so that we can keep our minds set on the things above. I just pray that we would have a strong finish to this great camp that it's been. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Caleb. You know, I say this to myself every year, but man, these messages have been great. The Lord is good. You know, I try to get myself in a habit this year of, even if it's just kind of a random text message to Mike Ferguson or something I need to communicate to a supervisor, you know, just end that text with, "The Lord is good." The Lord is good. I've been blessed with a couple great opportunities this year. You know, not limited to two, but the two that jump out to me. You know, I've got the opportunity to go up to North Dakota and preach in my socks. You know, that was, man, I was really excited about that. And just for the second year now, getting the text to do the Monday morning devotion, I enjoy being able to preach with my sweatshirt on. I love this sweatshirt. I wear it pretty much year round. And so I'm just grateful for the opportunity. I remember last year when Jay asked me if I would do the Monday morning devotion, my reaction is similar to Jeff, you know, like, yes, thank you, you know, great opportunity, you know. I really look forward to the opportunity. It is a wonderful thing. And so my excitement was very quickly followed by nervousness, you know. Then maybe a little bit of doubt. Oh, that's a lot of people. Can I do that? And then maybe a little apprehension. You know, so I said, kind of nervously, well, what's the theme of camp? You know, and he wouldn't tell me. And he said, you know, has already been brought out, you got the job of getting those Monday morning folks going. So I got about 45 minutes here, so I was thinking, well, heck, you know, we could just do a 45-minute boot camp class. And I thought, well, yeah, you know. But what is, you know, do a spiritual one. But get those guys going. You know, family camp really is a matter of recharging. You know, getting our mindset right going into at least school year, kind of reflecting on the past year, and really, you know, getting together, you know, specifically here under this tent with like-minded individuals and say, let's make a push. Look at the great things we have done. I remember, I've been a Christian about 6 years, and my first year at family camp, you know, there were a few chairs outside the tent. Now we got add-ons. We got rows going out every side. That's great. That's great. But it is a matter of recharging. And so, you know, my goal is just to encourage you this morning and kind of fire you up. It is Monday. It's the last day. You know, we're going to get out from here, have some breakfast, listen to a couple great messages, and then most of us are going to head home. Just encourage you before you head back. You know, for a number of years, I worked in a restaurant, and it was just a, you know, normal restaurant. You know, we sold pretty normal food. You know, anybody could come. And I couldn't believe it. I worked there for 8 years, and about half of it was in management, and I'd been to Louisville, Minneapolis, Denver, Salt Lake, Seattle, half a dozen state and national parks in Idaho and Montana. I've been to Anchorage, Alaska, and fished halibut off the bottom of the ocean. And I'm a kitchen manager. Why do I get to do this stuff? And that was because my company understood that its leadership needed to recharge. And even someone who just managing one out of probably 1,000 restaurants in Billings, Montana, it was important to them that, I got away and recharged. And I want to look over at Ephesians 3 here. Just starting in verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man." It took me kind of a while to understand this verse. And it's already been brought out. It's a difficult verse to understand. What's the Spirit for? In one sense, it's to recharge. Sometimes I catch myself, praying to the Lord for patience. Dear Lord, please give me patience. Amen. So, all right, he gives it to me, and now I'm adequately ready to handle that next stupid person that I see, right? Thank you, Lord. Angel's prayer. And see, the thing is, we should pray for patience, but that's not how the Lord answers our prayer. He's going to give you an opportunity to exercise some patience. Some places that particularly comes out for me, the lines at Walmart are long and they always refuse to staff one more person. I used to think I was really smart. I'd hit the garden one, out the back door, get out of there pretty quick. And, that's not a secret anymore. Hey, do you guys have roundabouts in Bozeman? You do? Are they fairly new? Yeah. It was about, 15 years ago when I was in Colorado where my uncle lives. And, there was roundabouts. So I've known about them for most of my life. And they're fairly new to Billings. And Billings is all excited about them. We got three of them right in a row, about a half mile area there. And we're just all excited about them. So we're just building them everywhere we can get them, But, dear Lord, please give me patience. Amen. Here's some roundabouts. That's how the Lord answers our prayer. And he says, be strengthened in the inner man through the Spirit. That's how he answers that prayer. Sometimes I have to catch myself praying and telling God to give me strength. Dear Lord, give me strength to be great for you. And he's going, I sure appreciate you, Nolan, but I gave that to you already. The Spirit in the inner man. Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Jesus says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must take up his cross daily. The Lord's Supper is such a wonderful and momentous reminder that our Lord, knowing our hearts, has instilled in his new covenant. The midweek assembly is a foundation building opportunity. And family camp is a great encouragement, and it fires you up. But on some level, on some way, we have to find out, and we have to renew ourselves daily. And it is going to be through the Holy Spirit. Along with the Lord is good, the main overarching concept that I'm going to walk away with from camp this year is I must decrease, and he must increase. And maybe that's just because Phil went first, and so I remember more of that one. But I must decrease, and he must increase. He says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated, the right hand of God. Brethren, have you been raised up? Does Colossians 2:11 say, "And in him you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of a body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him up from the dead"? Colossians 1:13. "For he rescued us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Starting in verse 4. "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." This is what I try to tell myself, particularly yesterday at the morning and evening Lord's Supper. It's in heaven, it's in heaven, it's in heaven. Because the reality is because there's physical stuff surrounding us at every moment of every day. And Christ is saying, "You've been raised up," and we're like, "Amen! But do you believe it?" That's hard. I'm not yelling at you. I'm excited because I'm yelling at me. Do you really believe it? God's given you an upgrade. You know? Nobody goes into the cell phone store and drops $600 on a phone with 10-year-old software. We want it to be able to do the panoramic pictures so we can get everybody who's inside the tent, right? It's got the capability, but it doesn't have the internal software to drive it. You've been given an upgrade. It's been brought out greater than John. Greater than the greatest of those who have been born to woman. That's another concept that's brought out very well in our assemblies. But do we believe it? Man, when I first read through my Bible, I was like, man, Moses is awesome. David's awesome. Isaiah, faithful servant. Greater than all of them. So where's your mindset? Where's your brain? You know, did it miss the upgrade? Did it miss the memo? Did your tom-tom send you in the wrong direction? The Lord wants you to think of yourself as a risen child of God. Brethren, the mind is so precious. That's something my father said that echoes in my head. The mind is so precious. And I'm thankful that the spiritual war has been brought out a little bit. The mind is so precious that the cosmic powers of good and evil who dwell in the eternal places are waging the internal war over it. Your mind. Every moment of every day devoted to the battle and war for your mindset. Where is it? Things above? The things of the earth. Read a little something I pulled out of cleansing. Little poem. If you think you're beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you'd like to win but think you can't, it's almost a sin you won't. If you think you'll lose, you've lost. For out in the world we find success begins with a fellow's will. It's all in his state of mind. You think you're outclassed, you are. You've got to think high to rise. Goosebumps. Think high to rise. You've got to be sure of yourself before you ever win that prize. Life's battles don't always go to the stronger or faster man, but sooner or later, the man who wins is the one who thinks he can. So set your mind on things above, not on things that are on earth. I already told you guys, and I want to tell you again, but sometimes I get really excited. And it's going to feel like I'm yelling at you. I'm not. I'm yelling at myself. because I think Satan has great tactics. He likes to discourage. He likes to distract. You can see that in our cell phones. But he ultimately deceives. There are many reasons why a Christian might not have a heavenly mindset. But I know for me, thanks to some comments from Brother Luke Wilson, it's because I'm afraid to be as great as Jesus was great. Guys, if I pull this off and I listen to my own message and I charge myself up and I go back and I do this, they're probably going to kill me. As great as Jesus did it. I mean, like a mindset on things above, on the kingdom and his glory. That holds me back. I don't think I'm the only one. Well, I'm not sure if the timing's right. You know, I might upset them. Why do I think that way? Now listen, we have tracks to run on, and we have things that have been proven to work, and we need to use those because we can't just go out there. You know, we have a guy in Billings that has the megaphone on 24th and Central every Saturday. Repent or perish! Repent! And so brother from our assembly are like, woohoo, there's a guy that wants to be the Lord. And so, you know, they they go over there and, you want to talk about the Lord? And he's like, no. I'm not kidding. He just wants to fulfill his job of making sure he told the world to repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand so he can go to heaven. It's not effective. I gotta keep going here. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Set your mind on things above. Brother Matthew Wilson said to me a couple weeks ago, stop putting diesel in the Ferrari. I said, well, hey, you know, diesel is a more premium fuel, actually. I mean, But the problem is we're talking about a Ferrari. And diesel don't work too well. I remember the first time I put diesel in a car, it was a Volkswagen, and I just felt odd about it the whole time. Has anybody ever done that? You know, pulled up to the diesel pump in a four-cylinder car? Man, that new creation cannot run on an earthly mindset. It just can't. You know, on the outside, it might look like, you know, flying unicorns and rainbows and furry things, but it ain't. You know, I remember, for the sake of money conservation, I never picked the high-octane 91 stuff. You know, I just put the regular old cheap stuff in my car, and then I bought a motorcycle. And my father probably told me. I ended up reading it in the manual later. Man, you put the 91 high-octane stuff in that motorcycle, because if you don't, you'll ruin it. Well, how about this? You won't get the power out of it. I know nothing about engines, so all I'm going to talk about them this morning. Combustion. Combustion engine. You know, just go, hey, you know, if I'm way off here. Combustion engines, you know, fuel gets injected into the engine. You know, spark creates a kaboom. And then that power goes down to the rear wheels. Boom, you're out of here, right?
How does that go to the rear wheels?
Yeah. But you see, the number on that pump is the level at how much pressure it can handle before it goes boom. And the higher the number, the more pressure it can withstand, meaning the bigger the boom, the more power you get. And so if you got a motorcycle, it goes vroom, vroom. You can put the cheap stuff in, but you ain't going to get the power. You guys getting the point again? Okay. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 18, for many walk of whom I often told you and now tell and even weeping that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction and God is their appetite, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Yeah, I got the nice new motorcycle, but if I ain't putting the right stuff on the inside, such were some of you. And these guys turned back. The mindset, an earthly mindset, it's poisonous to the Christian. It ruins everything that the Lord is working towards. He can't work with that. Romans brings that out. And, you know, like I mentioned, you know, this is Satan working. The problem is sometimes we don't notice it. You know, no show of hands. I don't want to hear any names. But think about that person in your workplace or wherever else you spend a significant amount of time, and they're the problem. They're the problem. The boss, coworker. And you walk up to them. Say, hey, I want you to know, Jenna, you're the problem. What'd she get? Me? I mean, are they going to be like, oh, yeah, you know, thank you so much. You know, Mr. Tool, I appreciate that. You know, I'll stop being the problem. It's not going to happen, is it?
No.
Do you think it's possible that at some moment in your day, you were the problem?
Yeah,
probably. And you'd react the same way. You see, when I listen to messages at family camp or back at the assembly, sometimes it's easy to pick on the world. It's easy to pick on Jehovah's Witnesses. They got it wrong. How are we doing? I try to, you know, obviously we focus on ourselves. But I like to look at the Lord's church, you know. As brought out earlier, there's some chapters in Revelation that have to talk about the Lord's church. How are we doing? Man, we come in and we're excited. And brethren, you guys are great. And we are a great people in the eyes of the Lord. But we could do a lot better. And it's easy for us to not see the earthly mindset. The danger is, as Scripture says, that a mindset on the flesh is death. It's hostile to God. I mean, let that sink in. It is in opposition and it is working against and it is hostile to God. I don't know about you, but I want to please the Lord. Earthly mindset cannot please the Lord. You know, it's well brought out in our assemblies. You go where you're looking. You go where your mind is set. You know, my father, big farm guy, you know, and those characteristics transferred into our city home, but we had 2 acres, and so when he taught me how to mow the lawn with a riding tractor, boy, he was just so picky about making sure that you lined up that tire just perfect with the line that separates the cut and uncut grass. Because if the deck hanging out the side was overlapping at all, that is, well, wasted time. And wasted fuel and wasted energy. And I just thought, man, you are so picky. And then I spent my summers in high school up at a ranch in Richland County. And I primarily got tasked with the job of handling the summer fallow ground. And so we just kind of tilled it up. And them farmers mean business about lining up the edge of that tractor with that line. You know, it's a waste. You get some new guy in there like me tilling up the ground, and you're going down in the tractor. Man, I, if you haven't done that, you got to do that. But, you know, my toolbar's hanging over, you know, about 3 feet, and it's tilling already tilled ground. I'm wasting time. And time's precious. So you know what he told me? He said, Nolan, just fix your gaze on something at the end of the field. Maybe it's a post, and he said, you focus on that, and you'll make a straight line. And I did. We understand this. I'm not telling you anything new. I was just supposed to fire you up today, all right? I'm not going to tell you anything new today. Okay? But man, you got to look ahead. And specifically, you got to look above. And if you will commit to doing that, you will make paths that are straight. Our Lord knows us, doesn't he? We get everything from the Bible. You know, verse 20 here in Philippians 3 says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's good stuff. As a man thinketh within himself, so he is. Guys, we know this. I'm going to go back to the restaurant. It's probably easy to understand, but it's hard to staff a kitchen. It's hard work. You know, and it's not like where someone's like, hey, we know roofing's tough, so we're going to pay you $18 an hour. You know, I just say, hey, I know this job's tough. I have to pay you $9 an hour. And so we have an Alpha House, which is a pre-release program in Billings, and I imagine they're in every town. And it's just because the jails are overcrowded, and they need a place to send, you know, people who have been convicted of felonies and minor crimes. And I got a lot of people from there. You know, because the requirement was they had to go and get a job. And these are great people. Great people. But the thing is they'd come in and I'd hire them, and boy, they'd be so excited. And they would work so hard, and you give it 2 weeks, and they would screw up. For no reason. How's it going today? Good. You know, and 5 minutes later, just cursing out their neighbor. Probably punching him. And flying out the back door. Now, by the grace of God, I kind of understand people to a little bit. I mean, wasn't Jesus the master communicator? Wasn't he amazing at meeting people at their level? That's because he loved them. No special God powers, guys. He just loved people. And so, you know, for the grace of God, you know, I understand people, you know, from the scriptures. And so I'd chase these guys down. Come here, come here, come here. It's like a block away, you guys. It's like a block away from the building. Come here, come here, come here. You set him down, and, like, you know, he's got to have his smoke. And, you know, sit him down, and I'm like, you're okay. You're all right. He goes, why did I do that? I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry. I know you're sorry. You know, I've hired people from the Alpha House before. I understand your mindset. Get back in there. Okay? The problem is that their entire life, they have told themselves that they're failures. Been given a wonderful opportunity. Excited for the job and grateful to be out of prison. And at least into a house where they can leave and go to work and create relationships, and they poison it. Because that's how they've told themselves. That's who they told themselves that they are. As a man thinketh within himself, you know, so he is. You know, I don't know a lot about Sitting Bull, but I do know that he said, inside of me are two dogs. One's mean and evil, and the other is good, and they fight each other all the time. When asked which one wins, I answer, the one I feed most. I heard that a while ago, and I'll never forget it. The mind is so, so precious. What are you feeding it? The good stuff or the 85-octane cheap stuff? The earthly stuff. Yeah, there's a war inside of you. And Romans calls it the battle between the flesh and the spirit. I like the way Jesus says it. The good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth what is good. And the evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. There is no good tree that produces bad fruit. You know, I got a plum tree, and it gives me plums. I got an apricot tree, and it gives me apricots. And it gives me a tree, I don't know what it is. And so I get fruit, and I don't know what it is. But they are consistently something that I don't know what they are. Brethren, the kingdom mindset, the kingdom citizen has a kingdom mindset. This isn't a matter of grafting in other varieties of peaches. There's only one fruit that comes from the kingdom citizen. You know, Jesus teaches us to bear fruit in keeping with repentance, right? Bear fruit. The Lord's going to prune us a little bit so we can bear even more fruit. Okay? But we got to be connected to the vine. We do that by maintaining a spiritual mindset on things above. The Spirit's the one at work within us He's not feasting on bad fruit, you guys. Man, I love that. The baptism of Jesus. There's two of them there, right? No! There's three. Amen! Because the Spirit, right? It's inside of you. It's not feeding on bad fruit. The Spirit feeds on spiritual things. I'm not going to tell you anything you don't know. For you have died, Colossians 3 says, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Brethren, we are seated in the heavenly places. And your life is hidden in Christ Jesus. You want that new guy? You want that new creature? Man, you gotta lick the lollipop to get to the stuff inside. Because that's where it's been hidden. That's where it's at. Man, when I was a kid, I don't remember, they got like root beer flavored Tootsie Pops, and those things are terrible! Who likes a root beer flavored? I secretly knew Jeff was gonna raise his hand. But man, I still crushed those things when I was a kid because I wanted the Tootsie Roll, man. Like, hidden inside. You can't get to the new man without going through Christ. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ in me. Where's your mindset? Where's Christ's mind? Where was Christ's mind set? Consider yourself alive to God in Christ. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him this way no longer. Now, this is a very powerful verse to me, and they all are, so I got to stop saying that. But we regard no one to the flesh. I put this in that category again, of do we really believe it? Brethren, do we really believe in the power of the new creation? When your brother is wronging you, do you really believe in the power of the new creation? That person can repent and grow? Instead of whether or not they deserve your forgiveness. You see, when we look at people, we gotta look past the fancy haircuts and the earrings, and we got to see an inner man. At Peaks, Don Malinowski, just in casual conversation, had a great comment. He said, you know how when you're like looking at the earth from satellites at night and all the areas glow? It seems like, you know, the eastern United States is usually pretty much one of the brightest. And you got some of those really concentrated cities in the eastern hemisphere. Yeah, those are pretty bright. And then you got some areas that are just pretty dark. And he said, man, like there's hundreds of us at Peaks, right? And Don said, what do you think this place looks like to God from heaven? The exact same way. Glowing. Brethren, how do you think this place looks right now from the perspective of the throne? Not according to the flesh. From the inner man. Burning bright. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. There's the new stuff. There's the new. Reconciling reconciled. My wife likes to say, your soul focus is a soul focus. I'm in those lines at Walmart. Do I see them as souls? Or do I see them as objects of frustration that have something, that are taking something away from me? In this case, my time. Right? Reconcile. Reconciling. Brother, that really is an entire hour-long message. You know, my point is, you know, we regard no one. Even the lost. I got a soul that needs to be put on that map that could be seen in light from heaven. Your soul focus. Soul focus. You gotta want the same things that Jesus wanted. And you gotta think the same way Jesus thought. Your life is hidden with Him. We got a brother, Rich, from Billings. And he kind of coined this phrase that I really like. He said, when you buried the old man, you should have buried the shovel too. Because we go back there and we're like, oh boy, they don't. Walmart. You know, we're just unburying that old man. I don't have anything that's my own, by the way. It's all been stolen. And I saw Rich yesterday, and I don't think he's here, but you gotta bury that shovel. Bury that shovel. You know, our God is He is the perfect master designer. We can see that everywhere. But something that's really jumped out to me lately is just how beautiful God has it set up. That Jesus, remember, no magical God powers, right? I mean, Jesus walked by faith. And he followed the example of the Father. We know this. But see, in that walk gave us the example that we're supposed to look to. And that we're supposed to follow. Wouldn't the pattern be that we can walk like Jesus walked then? Like, in somewhere in this divine revelation, did God's power get diluted in the process? That what God was able to show the Messiah that performed in a work in Him that was perfect, that we can't follow that same example? But see, that's how the Lord's got it set up. We follow Christ as He followed God. You know, Jesus says in John, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself. Unless it's something He sees the Father doing, for whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in the manner. The master designer. Now we get to follow the example of Christ and look to Him where He is seated above. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also would be revealed with Him in glory. Colossians 3 says. I've been blessed to participate in some youth activities over the course of this weekend. I missed a few messages, and from listening to you guys talk, I think this was touched on a little bit. So I'm going to give you the fast-forward version. But this is an encouraging verse. If you're not there, I want you to go back to Colossians 3, because I'm not. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will be revealed with Him in glory. This is super encouraging, but I want to focus on one particular point here. Revealed. Brethren, revealed. You want to talk about mindset on things above and regarding people according to the flesh and the inner man and renewing power of the Holy Spirit, you have to talk about revealed. Yep. When the Lord separates the sheep from the goats, you know, I don't think it's going to be a very surprising occasion. You know, I think I already heard it said, you know, nobody kind of, when the doors are shut, goes, wow, I made it to heaven. That's not going to happen. The goats are going to know they're goats. Because then they're in the presence of the glory of the eternal Father. It exposes all things. It reveals all things. You know, Peter writes, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with an intense heat. And the earth and its works will be burned up. When I first became a Christian, I went and bought an ESV Bible. I did a little bit of homework. It's a word-for-word translation. I like it. It holds up really well in worship and service for the most part. Okay? But the ESV says exposed. And the earth and its works will be exposed. Brethren, does the Scripture say, surely my hand founded the world, and my right hand spread out the heavens, and when I call to them, they stand together? The words of the creating God. Upholds all things by the word of his power. God said, let there be, and there was. By the word of his power. Brethren, atomic power, atomic bombs at the nuclear level. It's the splitting of atoms, right? Can I get one? Yeah? Or is anyone else scared to be wrong? I'm not scared to be wrong. You just tell me later. It's the splitting of atoms, right? And so, you know, when we look at the complexity of our creation, you know, we can't measure the memory. You know, the complexity of the human mind. There are things that we can try to explain away, but nobody can point to love on a map or on a chart or on a readout. They can say, well, we understand memories and how some of them fade over time, but they can't measure it. They can't put it in a box and explain it completely. They can't do it with light either. And they can't do it with the atom. Oh, there's protons, neutrons, and electrons are going, whoo! What's keeping that nucleus together? Upholds all things with the word of his power. And when God says, no more, every atom in this world splits. Boom! Intense heat. Exposed. And when the trees are burning down and this podium, hopefully it's still remaining standing when I'm done here, and the hair's melting off your head, the only thing that's going to be around is your soul. Because it's eternal. That's it. And some souls are going to be goatish, and they're going to be clothed in their sin. And other souls are going to be clothed with Jesus Christ. Able to approach unapproachable light. Exposed. Brethren, where's your mindset? Where are you at today? Where am I at today? We can mask these things. They will be exposed. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Starting in verse 6. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. I'm not picking on the outside world, but just as a general sense, there's a lot of people in this world that look really good on the outside, but they're dying on the inside. I almost just said I'd go to the gym. My wife works at a gym, so when I go to the gym, there's lots of guys that look pretty good. Oh, got guys that look pretty good. But man, they're putting all the wrong kind of stuff in. You know, steroids is a pretty good example of that, right? You know, it destroys you. You know, sin kind of does the same thing, right? Rots you from the inside out. Okay? Lots of people on the outside that are looking pretty good, but on the inside, they're dead. They're dying. Brethren, we don't want to be lumped in that. We don't want to be putting in the earthly mindset in this body that has a spirit in the inner man that has the potential to be a world-class weightlifter. We got to put the good stuff in. Revealed. I mean, the spiritual connection is... It's obvious, but I think it was Crystal Hopper came in a couple of years ago and taught the school kids some interesting things about the mind, the complexity of the human mind. And the one thing that she said that really, really stuck with me is that you have about 60,000 thoughts a day. And that's kind of a staggering number. And a lot of them are devoted to blink, breathe, left, right, you know. And most of it actually is devoted to, you know, what you take in with your eyesight. Almost all of it. There's tons of things that you are being exposed to at every moment that your brain has to constantly calculate and catalog. Did you know your brain cheats too? It cheats. It sees patterns and then it follows those. I mean, do I have to make the spiritual connection? I mean, what you consistently see, your brain logs and then cheats off it. It does. And that's where those neural pathways come from. Okay. You guys ever see those puzzles that deceive you and make a round circle look oval or anything like that before? That's because they're preying on your brain. Your brain goes, ooh, a shadow. It must be 3D. You know? No, but it's not. And so it tricks you. Okay? Yeah. What you're constantly putting in. There's 60,000 thoughts a day. How many of those were set on things above? I really like that. I tried to memorize my day yesterday. It took me about 5 seconds to realize I didn't remember a whole lot about yesterday. And so on an average Tuesday, how many of those 60,000 were on things above? Well, I prayed for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I read my Bible after breakfast. And then I prayed when I was in the line at Walmart. Five. Brethren, that's the reality. Hold every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. On things above, where you and Christ are seated. Let's go back to Colossians 3, because I'm not there again. You know, brethren, I want you to self-examine as I do myself when I put this together, and ask myself where am I at? Can I excel more with a heavenly mindset? Am I at 5 thoughts, 10 thoughts, 20 thoughts? Man, when you're breathing, the Lord expects you to take that thought and have it set on things above. So you don't get to rule out 30,000 of them because you're blinking and breathing and walking. And make these changes. See where you're at. Figure out how much of your actions, your mind, your thoughts are set on things above. And find those areas where you can make those changes. Because if there's any impurity or evil desire or greed or anger or malice or slander, any abusive speech in your life, you are suffering from an earthly mindset. And that's what he says here in Colossians. That's what I do. Great preachers get up here and they preach. And I see these lists and I think, okay, you know, maybe there was some malice. But we have to remember that was a direct product and a result of an earthly mindset. And weed it out. We got to recognize it first. It's crazy how we miss these things. Brethren, I don't handle stress all that well. I'm not like a stress ball. And you might not notice it, but that's because I go home and I close the door and I fret about it for the rest of the day. That's not good. And so, you know, leaning on my business management experience, I was like, I need to handle stress a little better. How can I do that? And at Texas Roadhouse, they told you that you need to go somewhere consistently every day. So, you know, if you worked a shift and you're on your way home, stop at a particular park every time, sit on the bench, smell the air, and watch the birds. And do that every day before you go home. And I was like, well, I should find my park. Well, what should I have been doing? Praying. Brethren, we miss this stuff. So I'm going to pick on me. I don't handle stress well. Could result in abusive language or harboring feelings of malice, right? How should I handle that? I'm going to go to the park. The Lord's like, oh, you're so close. Get on your knees and pray. I missed it. I pray now. I never did go to the park, but I'm just being honest with you. I mean, this is the mental progression I went through. I missed it. Missed the opportunity. Had to set my mind on things above. Yeah, I'm going to quote somebody who put this on Facebook. It says, the greatest and most common persecution I've witnessed has been fleshly-minded Christians against faithful Christians. And so when I'm a stress ball and I'm trying to hide it, it's generally because of this. And not because I'm the victim, but because it's true. It makes me really sad. But it's true. But brethren, the problem is the fleshly mindset. I promised to encourage you. I'm not getting on you. I'm just using some examples in my own life where I see an opportunity to get better. And just remind us that if these things do exist in your life, they stem from a fleshly mindset. And they're as quick and as easy as switching is by setting your gaze towards heaven, where you and Christ are seated. You know, I look at verse 10 here in Colossians 3. And having put away the new self, who's being renewed to true knowledge, according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, freeman, but Christ is all and in all. So those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Brethren, you can't talk about mindset without talking about people. You just can't. Because they're driving the cars and standing in the line at Walmart with you. And they're often the ones that are causing you to bring your thoughts down here on this physical world. They're the frustration. Brethren, cut your neighbors some slack. I got to cut my neighbors some slack. God sees them as a soul. You know, and I already brought that out, but I just went down to Nevada to visit my mom. And we flew down and we took a shuttle. They call them a shuttle. It's a van. A van from Las Vegas to Mesquite, where she lives. And there were three rows of seating in this van. In the very back row, there were four seats. And in the middle and upper row, there were three seats. Okay, two open seats. We're about ready to leave. A gentleman walks up and says, I'm on the 11 o'clock, but if you have room, I'd like to go now versus sitting here for another hour and a half. Okay? Guy says the seats are reserved. If they don't show up, it's yours. They didn't show up. They gave him the seat. Now, we're ready to go, so we're all in there, we're buckled up, we're ready to go. Two people are sitting in the front row with three seats, okay? My mom, sister, and brother-in-law are taking up the middle row, it's full, and my wife and myself and one other person are taking up the back row, okay? Two, three, three. Now, in a van with four wide and then three wide, what's more cramped? Yeah, four wide. And almost out of instinct, because of something I need to work on, when I saw him getting in the van, I hit Sam's leg to scoot her over to make it look like a three-seater. It is funny. I'm glad I can laugh about it because I saw the spiritual lesson. He comes in, and guys, the seat that's open was right in front of him. And he goes, hey guys, where am I sitting? Young kid. And he looks at that seat right there and he goes, back there. Like, what? What? Come on, Sam. Puff up a little bit. And I don't know if my mom is just logical. She goes, there's a spot right here, man. He's like, huh, all right. Now, the second my mom said that, there was a couple sitting in that row, and she looked at him and said, no, there's not. I can make myself feel a little better. When he stuck his head in that van, I didn't see him as a soul. I saw him as an object of frustration. Somebody who was going to take something away from me that I wanted. And if you can't relate with my example, then just think about the last time you flew on a plane that wasn't full. And you got the one open seat that nobody apparently bought the ticket for. And there's three more people coming down the aisle looking for a spot. Hopefully you brought a carry-on so you could set it in the seat next to you. Cut your neighbor some slack, brethren. If you have a heavenly mindset, you will see those individuals as souls. I'm glad I can laugh about it, but I can only laugh about it because I saw an earthly mindset. Guys, I'm almost embarrassed. An hour and a half opportunity to speak with a young man. Now, unfortunately, he put his earphones in and I was able to hear everything he was listening to because it was so loud. He wasn't open for much communication. But I didn't know that when he was sticking his head in the van, right? As a soul. And beyond these things, put on love. Brethren, do you know that every person in this world has someone who loves them unconditionally? And I'm not talking about the Lord, even though that is true. They got someone in their life that loves them unconditionally, probably a family member. Okay? And you got a problem with them. They're the problem. You know what the difference is between you who sees their problem and the person that loves them unconditionally? They know them. Who's got a problem? I do. That probably rubs people the wrong way. I'm probably rubbing a lot of you the wrong way right now. The difference is that person knows the real them, the full them, the part that covers up the weakness, the part that covers all. You guys understand what I'm saying? When you know somebody fully, you are able to look past their weakness and see them for who they are and love them unconditionally because that's what the Lord did for us. Not worthy. The Lord could have looked down from heaven and seen a problem, and he did. But he didn't have an earthly mindset. Okay? He saw us as souls, and when we weren't worthy to be saved, his own arm brought him salvation. You know, just let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and wrap it up. Encourage you to get out there and set some goals. Get fired up. Family camp's great. Man, I am pumped up. You know, I am pumped up. I am ready to make a push for the kingdom of God and to challenge myself to get to 10 thoughts on things set above and 20 and eventually holding every thought on things above to the obedience of Christ. Get out there. Set some goals. Get fired up. Read your Bibles. Okay? Go and meet a new person. You know, again, no hands, but how many in your assemblies, are there people that show up on Sunday and you don't know their name? That's reality, right? Can we be best friends with everybody in the assembly? I mean, cultivate a real, true, intimate relationship? No way. There's only about a handful of people that you can do that with because it requires a great amount of time. Okay? But you can at least ask them what their name is. Once again, not yelling at you. This got in my notes because it's true about me. There are people in my assembly who show up and I might not know their name. You know, go and meet someone. And I like to focus on the assembly. I mean, we're going to be meeting lots of people out there too. Okay? Now get out there. Set some goals for yourself. Get on fire for the Lord. Get a mindset. Get a kingdom mindset. When all things are revealed, brethren, we want to be the sheep. We want to be with Christ. And it's going to stem from where we set our mind and our gaze in this life. Man, we get to be with Jesus Christ. It was so, brought out so well last night. How much do you want the presence of Jesus Christ? It's going to depend on how much you want it now. How much are you willing to sacrifice to take every one of those thoughts and to set them on things above? Now, I don't necessarily think 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, you know, has necessarily do with like a heavenly mindset, but this is just a passage that should fire you up. In verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away and reserved for you in heaven, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even now though for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your soul. Brethren, the next time you read this, read it with that enthusiasm. What a wonderful gift we have been given from our God. Amen? We can obtain these things that have been promised to us and even promised to be protected by and preserved if we'll just set our mind where Christ is seated. Brethren, let's desire the salvation that we're being offered and show the Lord our faith by setting our thoughts on things above, by making our thoughts His thoughts.